Damn, girl, you know how to wear socks.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt, and I have a very different sense of what magic is than this week's movie does.
There was no magic here.
Absolutely none. But there's lots and lots of hairbrushing and toenail cleaning.
Yeah, the 1950s were a very different time.
That's a very good way of putting it.
We watched Keep It Clean. Vintage hygiene films, courtesy of Amazon Prime. A collection of a half dozen or so shorts from the, I think predominantly the 50s, where a whole host of different companies tried to educate the youth on how to take care of themselves properly.
I had to wonder as I was watching this, if YouTube has taken over the role of these vintage hygiene movies, or is that like purely a 1950s thing? Like, look, we have moving pictures. Let's use it to show kids how to brush their teeth.
You think like 10 years before this, it was like film strips?
There was probably drawings at some point, like maybe cave drawings or like vintage hieroglyphic versions of hygiene films.
Don't smell like the buffalo. Take a bath.
Oh.
See?
I like that. Either way, there seems to have been a lot of demand for hygiene movies, judging by the sheer volume that are available to watch today.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, were kids stinkier 60 years ago?
Based on some of the hygiene tips that they have, I would say yes.
Well, we watched most of these. I watched all of them.
He's a sucker.
I spared Jamie from watching the 30-minute commercial for Dial soap. Hey, we put this new chemical in Dial soap. You should use it anywhere and everywhere. And 10 years later, the FDA came out and said, oh, no, you shouldn't. And then the other one that we didn't watch, I think is worth noting only because it features a brief moment of the oddest toothbrushing I've ever seen.
Yeah. She's taking the toothbrush, putting it at the top of her teeth, and like slowly running it down her tooth.
The idea is to not brush towards the gums, only away from the gums. And she does this like a child trying to put off bedtime.
It's almost like she's squeegeeing off the tooth.
It kind of is. There's no like up, down, side to side. It's just reset the brush to the top of the tooth and down.
Yep. And like super slowly too. I think you hit the nail on the head with the idea that it's putting off bedtime.
Yeah, that was really the only highlights from the last two, but this collection of shorts is very much front loaded. And the very first one is Care of Hair and Nails. And it opens on a framed drawing hung on the wall of a girl with Freddy Krueger length fingernails.
I wonder if this inspired Freddy Krueger.
It could have. Like, I think Freddy Krueger would look at this girl and be like, okay, you win.
You're taking this a little too far, kid.
We get a female voiceover.
A disembodied voice, you might say.
Yes.
I always keep that picture on my wall, just to remind me how many boys and girls still need my help.
With clipping their nails?
Right?
Oh, but you can't see me, can you? Let me make myself visible. There.
And then old granny peer pressure materializes.
And she's dressed like a baby. It's like this frilly-ish dress with like a bonnet that's frilly. It has lace around it. And she looks like it's 1951. So that part's accurate.
She looks like it's 1851.
Do people look like this anymore? I can't picture one woman I know who would look like granny peer pressure. Is it the aesthetic that's 1950s, or did people from the 1950s just look like this?
I think that you could find a elderly woman that looks more or less like this person today. I think it's just the level of dress is all the way into costume.
Oh, fully. And she's got this voice. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. It's so saccharine.
Yes, and she says that she keeps herself invisible most of the time because...
That way it's easier for me to help boys and girls learn good habits. Lots of times they don't even know I'm helping them.
Who is this creepy old woman stalking children?
Using her power of invisibility to get kids to wash their hands?
You know who I think this is?
Who?
Bloody Mary.
Oh.
This is in black and white, so there's no way for us to know for sure that that costume that she's wearing isn't predominantly red.
Or bloody. All that lace, that could have actually been like blood spatter.
Well, she wants to tell us about a boy named Stanley. Speaking of your earlier magic reference, she has a magic wand that she's going to use to take us to Stanley.
Who names their kid Stanley?
Someone in 1940.
Hey, can you imagine? Here's my baby, Stanley. Would you like to hold baby Stanley? Stanley's 60. Stanley has always been 60.
Stanley is born a senior citizen. He's a Benjamin Button sort of situation.
Yeah. Except he doesn't de-age. He just stays old his whole entire life. You've cursed your son with the name Stanley.
Well, Stanley has many good habits, including washing his face and washing his hands.
But there was one habit Stanley hadn't learned yet.
And as Stanley is standing alone in the bathroom, I find it troublesome to ponder where this might be going.
Because Stanley is about that age.
Right. But it turns out that Stanley has dirty fingernails. And so she uses her magic to stop time and tell Stanley that his dirty nails carry germs and look ugly, so he should go back and brush them.
And then we get a montage of him brushing his fingernails for the rest of his life. It's the longest nail brushing scene in the history of time. She shows him how to wash his hair as well.
Yeah, in the shower.
Why is this woman in the shower with a 9-year-old boy? I'm surprised you did not have a 14-year-old giggle when she said,
"Plenty of gentle rubbing is all it takes."
Oh boy. And then it cuts into this horrifying close-up of what hair looks like when it's quote-unquote sick. It's like close-up of ringworm and close-up of lice and dandruff, and it's so unappetizing and icky. But Stanley is encouraged to only wash his hair once a week.
Yeah, Stanley, washing it more frequently might help with some of those things.
Right.
And then we cut to Alice. Alice has some hair issues, so Granny Peer Pressure uses her magic to tell Alice to go back and brush her hair 100 strokes or more. And that's how Granny Peer Pressure taught Alice to be obsessive compulsive.
Right. That's perfect. Well, and this 100 brushes is going to come up at least 3 times in this series of films, that you should brush your hair 100 times. We see 300 strokes over the course of this film.
The next short is body care and grooming. And this one takes a different tack.
This one is so offensive.
It opens with narration over footage of young couples together.
Ah, spring. When birds are on the wing. When flowers bloom. When a young man's fancy lightly turns to thought.
That's not where I thought that sentence was going to go.
No, well, but remember, it's 1957. This documentary can be horny, but only so horny. So we see this guy sitting on a bench reading a book. Looks like a college-age gentleman.
What's the matter? Exam week getting you down? What you need is to put down that notebook and take in some of the beauties of nature.
And then this group of young women walk by and out of camera, and we see that behind them is another young woman reading a book as she walks. And the narrator says,
"How did you get into this picture? You see, we're trying to prove a point about nature and beauty, and you're not exactly helping, you know."
When this young, apparently hideous woman first comes on the screen, I didn't notice a thing wrong with her. Did you?
No, I didn't either. And when he said that, I actually gasped out loud.
Yes.
I see nothing wrong with her.
No. He goes into then a litany of everything that's wrong with her. He's like totally disgusted too.
Look at your hair.
What is wrong with her hair?
I couldn't figure out one thing wrong with her hair.
Look at that blouse. And the way that skirt hangs. And those socks.
Yeah, okay, so her socks aren't perfectly lined up. My bigger problem is that she's wearing socks with loafers with the skirt.
But again, 1957.
Right. I kind of was like, is that a look? Could I go back to that look? That kind of is much more comfortable than trying to wear like some sort of insert in so that your socks aren't seen. Then he says,
you don't seem to be exactly the type to make this guy behave like a human being.
What?
I gasped again.
Right. Like, what?
There are two things going on here, obviously. There's completely offensive sexism. But is this short actively trying to encourage people to bone down?
I'm going to go with yes.
Because we cut back to the guy who's looking at her with a side eye with a little bit of disgust. And he gets up and walks away as if to say, well, I don't see anybody I want to screw here.
I think that's important to note that the fact that the narrator talks about how like gross and disgusting she is and she doesn't make this man horny and that's somehow bad. She's at college. She is there to learn and get an education. This is probably Stanley grown up. She's not there to bone down with Stanley. She's there to get an education.
Right.
Shut up, narrator. Narrator is probably named Stanley too.
Well, now this horrid looking woman is properly put together.
I couldn't see a difference.
He looks at her and exclaims,
oh, brother. Oh, brother is right. Look at that hair, that skin, that mouth.
Now, there wasn't anything wrong with her mouth before.
Nope.
And now look at the skirt and the socks.
What guy is obsessing about sock neatness?
Is that the first thing you noticed about me when you met me?
No.
Are you like, damn, girl, you know how to wear socks.
You keep going all the way down to the socks?
Socks are the thing that leads to the oh boy. Now, a shoe fetish and a foot fetish is a thing, but he didn't end on the shoes or the feet. He ended on the socks.
I mean, a sock fetish is probably a thing too.
I guess. Like, what do sock fetishists think about sock monkeys?
I don't want to know.
Don't Google it.
I mean, I don't care if somebody has that kink, but I don't. I mean, there were lots of secretly subversive things that were being created in the 50s. So I guess this is secretly a sock fetish film.
I love that description of it. I wish that that were actually true. I hope it is true. Now I'm imagining Stanley Sr., the narrator, is like secretly a sock fetishist and worked that dialogue into the script. Like the script said, like, and look at her great, well-kept shoes or something. And he was like, oh, you know what? It's the socks.
Can we do another take? I'm going to talk about her socks.
He does like 14 takes.
Each take is a little more breathless.
Right. And then people, they're smoking, right? Because this is 1957, are like looking at each other. They put out their cigarette and they're like, okay, Stanley, we can move on.
There was one thing here that made me feel like an idiot because I didn't ever connect this before.
Okay.
They talk about brushing your hair again.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that you're brushing your hair over and over and over is that increases the luster of your hair by spreading out the oils from your scalp. And I didn't really ever connect that before.
Really?
I might be stupid.
You might also be a guy who presently has no hair.
Yeah, I currently have no hair and I've always had pretty short hair.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just me. They flirt with telling us about how to brush our teeth, but apparently it's too complicated to really go into it here. So they say to talk to your dentist.
Your delivery on that was perfect.
Thank you.
Oh my God. They do basically say it is too hard to tell you how to brush your teeth.
The technique of using one of these simple little instruments is best learned individually from your own dentist.
They really needed to talk to the girl from the other video.
Yes.
Always brush away from, not toward, your gums with every stroke.
they managed to work out the complication of toothbrushing without having to refer you to somebody who's gone to many years of medical training.
I'm going to say bullshit to that because I think a dentist would not have taught that girl to do what she's doing with that toothbrush.
He'd be like, what are you doing?
You can brush your teeth in just 15 minutes.
I also want to posit that maybe she did learn from a dentist. Maybe our parents watched a video where they brushed their teeth in like the weird way we brush our teeth now. And dentists are like, no, that's all wrong. You're supposed to squeegee your teeth and it's supposed to take you an hour every day.
Do you think this is like, there's that community near the coast in North Carolina where people still have the old English dialect?
Yes.
Somewhere in America, there's a community of people who brush their teeth like this.
Absolutely. They watch movies and stuff and see people brushing their teeth and they're like, what are they doing?
Mainstream media lying to us about how to brush our teeth.
Fake news. They also recommended that you have separate toothbrushes to brush your teeth with a different one after every meal so that they have time to dry. And I'm thinking, how long does it take your toothbrush to dry?
It made me think that there must have been some sort of different
fiber.
Yeah, that toothbrushes were made out of back then. I just picture like the toothbrush gets wet and it just goes like limp.
Right.
The next short is keeping clean and neat. We go over to Don, who looks neat enough and feels clean enough, but maybe he could be better in some way.
Good enough is not good enough.
Let's, through the magic of film, go back to Don's morning routine and see where it all went wrong. Don very tiredly and slowly gets out of bed. The narrator gives Don crap for this.
He does. Is the narrator still Stanley?
Probably. And he also gets admonished that he's not clean if his fingernails aren't. The 50s were really obsessed with fingernails.
They really were. I didn't even know what cuticles were until I was in high school. And they're teaching kids how to push up their cuticles and like doing all this stuff to their nails. That's like, maybe I'm the weirdo, but...
No, I think it's weird to think of a nation of 8-year-olds giving themselves pedicures before school every morning. So school starts at like, let's say 8 a.m. If you get up by 5 a.m., you have time to give yourself a pedicure and brush your teeth.
Oh, but you're going to probably want to wait and wash your hair at a different time because you will not have time for this.
No.
The narrator scolds Don for lots of things unrelated to his personal hygiene, like his closet is messy, and I felt really judged. I'm going to be honest. The last 100 days, my willpower to live has sunk a little bit, and so my closet is like a total mess, and I was like, shut up, Stanley. You do not know me. You do not know my situation. Also, put your belt through all the loops. Really? Thank you, narrator. I wouldn't have figured that one out.
It makes you wonder, like, what kid needed this?
So, leading up to the 50s, did people not know how to groom themselves, period? Was it like 4 people who knew how, and everybody else was like a dirty mess with belts like wrapped around their chins and not doing anything with their fingernails, and 4 people were like, we need to spread the word on hygiene?
Yeah. I think the last short that we didn't really watch is a big part of the equation because it's also about beauty product manufacturers using new media to convince generations of people to buy their products by shaming them in some way.
Yeah, that's a good point. These were not sponsored by any product. But I guess it's that whole everything that we do is sponsored by somebody in some way.
The man.
Down with the patriarchy.
Right.
Then we meet Mildred.
She gets told to brush her hair.
Brush and brush and brush. At least 100 strokes.
So there's that old refrain again.
Yep. And she needs to allow time to put up her hair. You can't just love the hair that you had on your head. Like, your hair's straight, well, that's too bad. It needs to be curly. Curly-haired people, it's too curly. It needs to be straighter. Society is so messed up.
The one thing that you shouldn't have is what you naturally have.
Right. And again, I have to circle back to this. Please meet my beautiful baby, Mildred. How is there ever a child named Mildred? It immediately makes me think of mildew.
And dread.
Yes, I dread Mildred.
And we close with this narration.
Keeping clean and neat is something we expect of everyone as a health measure, for ourselves and for our community. Don't you think you can do it?
I can't, honestly. I can't live to the standards of this documentary. I've never brushed my hair 100, probably you couldn't add up 100 strokes in my whole life. Like, I don't put curlers in my hair. I don't always put the belt through all the loops. So, no, Stanley, I can't.
Stanley and I are shocked and appalled.
Well, at least my socks are neat.
You're the poster girl for neat socks.
And that's a lie, too, because 9 times out of 10, my socks don't match. So, I'm lucky I caught me a man.
Yeah, again, I wasn't looking at your socks. Our final short is How to Be Well-Groomed.
Oh, this one.
We meet Don and Sue, who are teenagers at home complimenting each other on how great they look.
Teenage siblings.
Yes.
I think is an important note. Like, when they're complimenting each other, I didn't realize they were siblings.
Say, do you look smooth?
Why, thank you. You look mighty elegant yourself, if I may say so.
Yes, indeed. Both Don and Sue look like the kind of people you'd like to know, don't they?
Siblings don't compliment each other.
Not like this.
No.
Like, hey, you look hot tonight.
Wow, look how neat your socks are.
They're getting ready to go out, and it's implied not with each other, despite the dialogue.
Right. It's a little flowers in the attic.
Yeah. Sue is getting ready, and she's getting her fingers ready, because once again, fingernails.
Yep.
And the narrator says Sue avoids red nail polish, since it would call attention to her stubby hands.
Again. Is that something that a person cares about in a partner? What are stubby hands?
I guess that means you have short fingers.
You're a guy. At what point did you notice my freakishly long fingers? Do you even today know I have long fingers?
The only reason that I really know is because you always talk about it. A lot of this short goes by where it's just Don and Sue getting ready for their evenings. And then I guess it leaps back to the morning when they're doing their morning rituals.
Right.
Don cleans his fingernails because it's a short from the 1950s.
Yep.
And the narrator says,
dirt under your fingernails must be cleaned every day, and it's better in private.
The world doesn't need to see your dirty fingernails, Don. Hide in shame.
Right? I mean, cleaning your fingernails at the dinner table, kind of icky.
Well, sure.
But if somebody walks in on you cleaning your fingernails, I can't see them being like, gah! What are you doing, you freak?
I've been in a locker room, and I can tell you that the least offensive thing you will see in a locker room is someone trying to clean their fingernails. But apparently that was supposed to be some sort of secret shame.
I guess.
How many diseases did they think were being spread by dirty fingernails in the 50s?
All of them. Smallpox, polio, all of these they probably think were eradicated because of the clean fingernail campaign.
They go to the breakfast table and it turns out that there are parents. And we get told that mother too keeps up a good appearance even for around the house. For that keeps up her spirits.
Oh, Dave.
And after breakfast, I don't know if you caught this. Sue goes back to her room for some finishing touches, but she does not buss her dishes because she knows that that takes away from how her mother finds value and purpose.
Oh my God, the 50s. When people talk about going back to the good old days, they're often talking about the 50s. You know, it's like the post-war prosperity and everybody's living the American dream. Many of us know it wasn't exactly a great time to be a lady or a person of color in the 50s, but what we didn't realize until this series of films was how bad it was to be a child and the oppression of hair brushing and toenail brushing and fingernail brushing and socks.
The tyranny of socks.
Yes. And I have to wonder if Mary or Stanley were dropped in 2020 at like a Walmart. What level of horror they would have at how we as a, I'm not excluding myself. Because like nobody is doing this. Like so much of this is not necessary.
So much of this shit is designed to occupy so much of your time that you don't have an opportunity to like rise up against the man, right?
Right. In this documentary, they show Sue analyzing her legs to decide if she's going to shave them, like if they needed to be shaved, because apparently you can't show a woman shaving her legs on screen in 1956. And they talk about how, you know, you can use a safety razor to shave your legs. And it's like, honestly, that's all the patriarchy, my friend.
I also noticed that the safety razor that they show looks like this crude, like...
like a torture implement.
It really does. It's this big, heavy metal toothed thing that just looks insane.
Yeah. It would feel right at home on like a tray with a bunch of other weird implements in like some sort of Bond villain's lair.
It absolutely looks like a Bond villain torture device.
Yeah. And they spent quite a bit of time talking about how you need to have a hairdo that suits you.
Yes.
Again, that's like mildly offensive. The hair that you have on your head, that's the hair that suits you. Because it's your hair and it's on your head. At the end of this, it cuts to Sue admiring herself in the mirror. And this is the first sibling interaction that seems realistic to me because Don kind of gives her shit for it.
Yes.
Like, oh, vanity, looking in the mirror. And she's like, well, but Don, you should look in the mirror because it might help you to figure out how messed up you are. And he comes over and notices things wrong with his cuffs and his posture's off. And it goes back to the socks again. What is with the 50s and socks?
Well, it ends with them reminding us that through the day, others are looking at you.
What?
Their good grooming helps them in friendship and business.
Yeah.
Aren't they in, they're in high school, right?
Yeah.
What business is this helping them with?
Working at the ice cream store?
The business of getting down.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Dave. Is there anything you learned?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
A couple things. One of them, again, I didn't realize that 70 years ago, we were still trying to figure out how to properly brush our teeth.
When did we start brushing our teeth as like a society? Because was it like 1945?
The people who are brushing their teeth are brushing them like this is this newfangled technology.
Well, they even describe the toothbrush like this is a toothbrush. It has about 1 inch of bristles that are in three rows. When was the toothbrush invented?
The other thing that I noticed in a few of these shorts that I wanted to ask you about, there are multiple times where the ladies, girls, women featured in these are washing their hair in the sink.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. My grandma, I think, used to wash her hair in the sink.
Why wouldn't you go in the shower?
And here's my theory. Back in the olden days, you were washing your hair in like a bowl and then you have a pitcher and they sit on some sort of washstand. Maybe by 1956, they haven't yet figured out like, you could just do this in the shower. Like now we have showers. That's where you could do this.
But everybody in this documentary seems to have a shower.
And they all seem to wash their, well, many of them seem to wash their hair in the sink.
Yeah. What did you learn?
I learned the critical importance of socks in catching a man. This changes everything. And it brought to mind, I was wearing socks once to a job, and I'm tall. So before I kind of figured out that you shop in the tall girl section, sometimes my pants were too short. And I do recall somebody saying something about like my socks not being like lined up. And I'm thinking that that kid is the grandchild of Stanley.
Wow. I didn't realize that this would be something that you would have personal experience with.
And I guess I found a mate that is one of maybe perhaps the only men that don't care about socks, which is good because my entire life, I'm one of those people that like puts four socks in the dryer and takes out two entirely different socks that don't match each other nor anything I put in the dryer. I probably have 100 different pairs of socks that I have purchased, and I probably have about 7 pairs that are actually matched up at this point in my life.
Well, I guess there's yet another reason to be glad you weren't a child in the 50s.
Yes, a very good reason. Also, I'm realizing how subversive I am. You know how you have like the posters with the person with the raised fist? For me, it's like a poster of my ankles showing two different socks on.
I don't know the status of his sock wearing, but I do want to thank Tomb Dragomir for the use of our theme music. It's Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. And podcasts 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth. Check those out if you're interested in other podcasts from upstanding citizens with fine fingernails.
Yes. We're on Twitter at Super True Story, because there's a character limit. Thanks, Twitter. And on Facebook at Super True Stories.
And Jamie, this is kind of a reminder, as 2020 has been a bit of a collective shit show. At least we don't have to obsess about some of the things that people were obsessing about 70 years ago on top of everything else.
True. We just have some totally different and actually horrifying things to obsess about. Things that actually matter. I'm going to go curl in the ball and cry.
And I'm going to come down and help you go through that sock drawer, young lady. Well, on that note, we'll be back at you in a couple weeks with a new episode. Until then, I'm Dave Hunt.
I'm Jamie Hunt.
And bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's how Granny, I shouldn't have called her this.
It's a tongue twister.
And that's how Granny peer pressure taught Alice to be obsessive compulsive.
Right.
Oh, brother.